Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Listen to me. This message is titled Our Faith and the Victory, Part 1. Verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people that are more than you, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Verse 2. And it shall be that when you are come near unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Verse 3. And shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. Verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you. Oh, did he ask you to fight? Did he ask you to fight? He said, it is the Lord your God that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Verse 5. Now, leave it. Stop there. The other time that God referred to something like this, something similar to this, was when Ezekiah was going to battle. And the prophet said, you will not need to fight in this battle. But you see, just like we are giving common sense, we are also giving spiritual sense. Now, this is a word of prophecy. The Lord said, look, when you are going to fight in a battle and you notice that the people you are fighting with are more than you, then God began to address some very important points that are seemingly very small, but very critical to this, to the battle. And those are some of the things, bring it down. Those are some of the things I want to bring to your notice. Number one, I want to share with you, God wants you as a believer to be battle bred and battle ready. Not to have a sense of warfare is to be eternally useless to God. Because there are no territories that will be taken without battles. You cannot train as a civilian when your father is the Lord of hosts. He said, no man goes to war at his own expense. You must realize that that job that you are doing, that school where you are working, that office, that ministry, is actually a call to battle. Until you see it like that, your response will not change. You will only think you are in a battle when you are in church. We are in a battle for territories. And listen to me, those that God will depend on in this season, there will not be people with two heads. There will be people just like you and I. You must be battle bred. Battle bred means to be taught in the art of war. It means to be taught to, when you find yourself in certain situations, you know in your spirit what to do. That's what it means to be battle bred. For so long, we have raised civilians in the church. We have raised so many civilians. People don't know how to fight again. So now we have words of wisdom that we use in a period like COVID-19. Why can't you open your church? We are not raising civilians. The devil is a very old one. They didn't change the devil since the day that he fell. He's still the same old devil. The devil saw Constantine. The devil saw Alexander the Great. The devil has met people you have never met. But his schemes are still the same. Deception. Fear. He only amplifies it to the degree to which he observes you. So you may have an exam in front of you. You may have an exam in front of you and you've not written it, but in your mind you failed. Ah, who knows that kind of exam? You have not written it, but you know this exam. We already know the result. It's the next one. It's the receipt we are thinking of. Because you are not battle ready. Look at that scripture. Go to verse 1 again. Verse 1. He said, when thou goest. He didn't say if. He didn't say if. He said when. He said, when thou goest. And did you see that in this particular interface, the battle was not initiated by the enemy. It was initiated by the saints. That means that there are times that the devil comes after you. There are times you go after him. We are trusting God in the next maybe 1 or 2 months. We want to get into a Ibejuleki for an outreach. You know where Ibejuleki is? We want to go and win souls there. So we are taking the battle there. We are not waiting. You always have to be on the offensive. Don't just see everything like it just happened. Your military mindset must always be at work. He said, when thou goest. Like I said to you, to be battle bred is to be skilled in spiritual warfare. Look at Psalms chapter 18 and verse 34. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 34. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 34. He said, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my hands. Do you know what that scripture means? Do you know what steel is? Except maybe in some of these our sci-fi films, vampire, where they can be breaking things, you know. It is extremely rare to find an untrained man who is able to bend steel. But look at what he said. He said, he teacheth my hand. So God teaches him. When you walk with God, God doesn't just teach you how to be blessed. He teaches you how to fight. When the devil comes for your wife, when the devil comes for your son, when the devil comes for your husband, you stand in the gap and say, not this one. And when the devil looks into us, he knows that this one is not good. It is to be skilled. To be skilled means that you do not bring a machine gun to a fight with a lapa lapa. You are able to assess every situation and be able to prescribe the right treatment. To be battle ready is to anticipate warfare. To be battle ready means to anticipate warfare and to be adequately prepared. To be battle ready means that you know that sometimes it may be the devil, those moments of peace. I don't know if it has ever happened to you. Just that night, and you just felt, look, I want to sleep this night. And then your child started running temperature. Has it happened to you before? The night that you thought, if I can sleep this night, I will just rest. You've been sleeping before. But this night, something just... And the moment they called you and said, so, your baby is running temperature. Because this night, you wanted to sleep. To be battle ready is to anticipate warfare. They come when you are not looking. But what does God command us? Go back to that scripture. He said, do not be afraid of them. What is God saying? Faith. Faith is the destroyer of fear. Hallelujah. Faith is the destroyer of fear. Faith is a destroyer. Faith can never cohabit with fear. Because faith is a product of something. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. And he said, Jesus said, why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. In this particular instance, they were on the sea. And there was a storm. And Jesus was sleeping in the storm. Let me tell you, the way you respond in moments of crisis is directly proportional to your revelation knowledge. How you respond at any given point in time, whether you wear a suit or not, is directly proportional to your revelation knowledge. Somebody can lose his wife and you see him still come and preach the next day. It's revelation knowledge. Somebody else can lose his wife. Let's be praying for himself, not backslide. If you are born into this world, the day will come. God so help you that maybe from 90 years you will die. And how you die is not how what determines your reward. Because some people go about and say, the day that man of God died, rain fell. It was a sign from heaven. Some people said when the man of God died, sun was shining, rain was falling. Wow, what a mystery. When Wigglesworth died, he was alone. Died alone. But you are still reading his books. Those people that have sun and moon on their burial ground, we don't know their name again. Stop looking for vain things. There are things we do, we measure on the minor. Those things are, whether the sun, even if thunder struck my grave, it doesn't mean anything, I'm in heaven. It's not a sign of anything. Face your front. It's not the sign of anything. Look at it. Jesus was in a storm. Jesus was on a boat, and there was a storm. Because some of you get this impression like you're not supposed to have crisis. Jesus was the one that they came for. The devil could not anticipate his prophecy, but he felt, if I just take him out. What the devil didn't even know is that if Jesus peradventure had died there, and he died believing God, that would have been the sacrifice. He didn't get that one. His calling was to die. If Jesus that day had sank, and he died saying, God, you are faithful, that would have been it. Do you notice that it was all the fearless and faithless people that were awake? The faithful man slept. How to determine your spiritual level? See your response in crisis. And you should write that down. The response in crisis will tell you the weight of the problem and what you need to do. Jesus was asleep, and then they woke him up out of fear. And what was the first thing he said? He said, why are you fearful? That means this battle is a product of fear. This battle was born out of the realms of fear. There's a spirit of fear, just like we have the spirit of love and the spirit of power. The spirit of fear is not that little omomo fear in your heart. It is a spirit that inhabits and gives birth to fear. Anywhere it goes, you just see it. It gives birth to fear. Just like you can come into a church and you can sense faith to be healed. You can come into a place. Have you ever been to the hospital before? I went to pray for somebody who had an elderly man about 70 years who had fallen down and hit his head on the concrete, and he was bleeding internally inside his head. By the time they took the man to General Hospital at Bagada, he was doing like this. His body was already shutting down. I looked at everybody in that ward with him, and everybody was... You could see the same response. So even if you want to have hope, you now look at the other person beside you. They are forcing him to eat, forcing him to get up. Then I noticed everybody there started behaving the same way. So I asked them, when they brought this man here, was he like this? They said no. But now he's behaving exactly. Look, my brother, you better choose your company. Choose your company. Stop looking for people who have excuses with why things are not happening. Choose your company of faith. Choose your company. It's not the one you're saying, I don't like making friends. You better, if you notice it is Sister Tamedu that has faith, you better go and say, I want you to be my friend. Because all these people that only propagate evil, they will not help you. Look at the first thing. Jesus did not even pray. He just asked them, if you are facing this battle, there's something wrong with your faith level. That's what Jesus meant. If you are facing this battle like this and you are panicking, there is something wrong with your faith level. Jesus did not pray. But Jesus knew that anytime a believer has the response of fear, as a natural response, as a first response, then there's something wrong with his faith level. And if there's something wrong with your faith level, there's something wrong with your revelation level. And if there's something wrong with your revelation level, there's something wrong with your ability to see his face. Are you hearing me now? Are you hearing me now? Are you hearing me now? I said if there's something wrong with your faith level, if you're not able to respond to God in faith, that means there's something wrong with your faith level. And if there's something wrong with your faith level, there's something wrong in your revelation level, revelation equation. And if there's something wrong with your ability to receive revelation, there's something wrong in your ability to see things. And this has nothing to do with emotions. So why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? I am with you. I am with you. Why are you fearful? I'm standing here with you. Why are you afraid? I'm standing here. You don't have to see me to believe. I'm telling you I'm here with you. That's what Jesus is saying. If you are seeing me, you should know that I'm the embodiment of faith. I'm the embodiment of the reality of the whole heavens. You cannot be afraid when I'm with you. Jesus was going to heal a man and he said, do you believe? When I went to that general hospital to pray for that man, and I looked at him and I said, the Lord told me to tell you, you will not die. The man looked at me, did not believe it. Then I said to him, I said, the Lord said, it's healing your body, it's going to touch your brain, the bleeding will stop. The man was all looking at me like, this is some radical guy. Then I looked at his wife, I said, you have cancer in your breast, one of your breasts. She screamed, say, how did you know? So that when the man heard that, he now started having faith. Let me tell you, your faith level is not only determined by what you read. It is when you read that scripture, faith comes by hearing. He didn't say faith comes by reading. There's a hearing of faith. Say with me. The moment you don't have to hear a prophecy to believe. That's what I'm saying. It's a Nigerian thing. People don't take you serious until you begin to respond in a particular way and shake like Shakespeare. Then they believe the man is anointed. It is not color that makes you call. Are you heavy this week? Can the devil carry you and do summer slam? Are you heavy? The moment I spoke to him about his wife, then he believed. And I told him, as a sign of this miracle, you are going to go for your this scan. I don't know what they do. Some brain scan or something. There's some name I forgot. MRI. MRI or something. And the God there came back, they couldn't find anything. The man walked out, it was he. So when you read the word of God, when you read the words of men of God, you must hear it with the intention to hear. Because that's instruction. You must hear the word of, you must read the word of God with the intention to what? To what? To hear. Jesus said to them, why are you fearful? People of faith are never quiet. People of faith, they are never quiet. As the devil is coming, they will be answering me. Look at the people of Israel. When Goliath came against them, he was the only one doing the talking. Goliath was the only one doing the talking. Whoever has the day, whoever has the microphone has the day. He was the only one doing the talking. The king couldn't be found. The assistant king couldn't be found. The wife couldn't be found. The captains couldn't be found. It was an untrained soldier in the desert. Because every time somebody has capacity to speak into your heart, it will either create faith or fear. And Goliath took 40 days to spiritually demobilize the Israelites. It was a spiritual battle. What are you hearing? Who are you listening to? What are you hearing? Who are you listening to? Who are you hearing? What are you listening to? You are married and the son says, hey, you may not get pregnant. According to who? Nobody has ever existed like you. You may look like your mother, but you are not your mother. See, why are you fearful? The Bible said, look at that. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, in other words, Jesus equated this kind of storm that wanted to crash the ship. And he said that their faith is small. In other words, it is something slightly above small faith that can deal with this kind of thing. Then he arose and he did what? He rebuked the wind and the sea. Give me verse 25. No, give me 24. There arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but it was asleep. Now go back to verse 26. The Bible says he rose up, so he was probably still lying down when he was collecting them. Rebuke. He didn't say, my people, how now? even your response shows why you are weak. You are praying as if you are trying to please beg the devil to move to the next house. Hey! Stop! Be healed! Be free! Stop! He rebuked. There was an attitude. He rebuked. He didn't wait. He didn't behave like, how many of you are around today? Well, don't you know I'm here? I'm Jesus. We came for you. We know you are here. We'll be monitoring you. All those monitors that follow your father, follow your grandfather, follow your great-great-grandfather, they are here. They followed you. But your parents didn't have the attitude for it. Because your attitude shows what you believe. It shows that you know something. Hey! Rebuke the wind and the sea. And there was a great... Your attitude can tell us what your faith level is. When there's no other place, you have nowhere to turn to. Your posture, your attitude, your annoyance can tell us a lot. How do you generate faith? Number one, faith has its root in the revelation of Jesus. Faith has its root in the revelation of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13, Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13, the word of God tells us about the centurion who, from verse 5 to 13, they told us about the centurion whose servant was sick. And when this servant came to Jesus, you know, and Jesus said, I was going to come to your house. The guy said, no, don't come. He said, why? He said, because I'm a man under authority. He saw Jesus for who he was. The Pharisees had been with him for years. The disciples had been with him for years. He took that man only 5 minutes with Jesus to descend him. Jesus was in a place going to raise Jairus' daughter. And people were thronging him. They were the men of God. They were the Khan. They were the PFNs. There were people who speak in tongues and want to follow him. We are the people. Camera will carry. Hey, video. CNN. And people are just going. They were just going. People like, oh, the master. We are following the master. And one woman just pressed. Others, we are so close. But so far. Jesus felt something move in his body and he said, who touched him? It's a revelation. You have to learn how to descend it. So when you read the scripture, search first for the revelation of God. Search first for that greatness, that thing that reveals him. When you look into the scripture, look at him. Be in a search for him. I want to see another side. I mean, Moses was saying, God, I'm prophesying. I'm doing stuff. I'm doing ministry. I'm doing a lot of things. I'm taking your people out into the promised land. But I want to know you. Show me your glory. Nobody before then had ever asked God that question. There's a law of first mention. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know what it felt like when he rose from the dead. I want to know what it felt like when he was on that tree being hung and being punished. I want to feel it so that I won't run in vain. I want to feel it. I want to experience immortality in my life. I don't want to die before I see it. Job said in the scripture, he said, with my eyes I will see him, not with the eyes of another, with my own eyes. Job declared the day of the Lord, even before Jesus was born. Many people go about with weak faith, simply because their faith is not tied to a direct revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so convenient to talk about things that are fleshly, carnal, money, all of that. And we can call it church. Those things are important, but they are not the main thing. Because those things, anybody can understand them. Your revelation of Jesus. That is the primary way to generate faith. Continuous revelation of who God is will lead to greater levels of faith. Continuous revelations of who God is will lead to greater levels. In Romans chapter 1 verse 17. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. The word of God says, from faith to faith. For then is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when the just shall live by oxygen. The just shall live by divine oxygen. The just shall live by faith. And so, as we progress in the righteousness, in the revelation of the righteousness of God, we move from one level of faith, one level of understanding, one level of revelation, one level of depth to another. So we used to be at this level. We used to have a weak faith, but now we are getting into a strong faith. We used to be at a level where we needed to, charge ourselves every morning, but now we go to bed with a consciousness of the righteousness of God, knowing in our spirit that we are even more dangerous in our sleep than when we are awake. We are not thinking, oh, maybe if I sleep right now, then they'll come and press me. You press me, you die. You press me, you die. You don't know whether demons can die, but you try it this time. You press me, you die. That's the end of your assignment for the devil. It's a consciousness. Because as you behold him, you see more of him than you see you. As you behold him, then you see him. You look into that mirror. But you are not seeing yourself. You are seeing him. And then you are changing. Something is metamorphosing on your inside. All of a sudden, it's like when a person has been beaten by a vampire, and then you can't even compel your metamorphosis. You are just... So you are changing into his image. You are changing into his likeness. You are changing into his power. You are changing into his grace. Then the man that came to the mirror is not the man that is walking away from the mirror. Because now you are able to see as you are seen. But when they bring accusations against you, you can say, who can lay a charge against God's elect? Nobody. He said the righteousness of God is what? Revealed. That's revelation. So as I grow in my revelation knowledge, I move from one level of faith to another. And let me tell you, your capacity to fear can tell you a lot about your secret place. Your capacity to fear tells you a lot about your secret place. Whether you are even visiting God, whether you are spending time in God's presence. One of the things that spending time in God's presence will do for you is it will cause an increase in the level of your faith. How do I generate faith? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17.
I will sing praises to you, O God. My strength, I will sing praises to you, oh God.
We want to see your face.
Say, I will sing. Oh God, you are my strength. Say, I will sing. Oh God, you are my strength.
Lena kusayi anamara kusevidia. Listen to me, Raso Felina Borushka. Scripture says our children shall be taught of the Lord. Let me hold back. Second service. So then faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh. It comes when we hear. We are crafted to be able to believe and to see as he sees when faith comes. When we hear the word, it is not just in the reading. The reading must produce a hearing. So it is a faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So there's a level, depending on where you are at that point in time, you may need to hear, to produce a degree of faith where you are able to look into that office where you feel like there's no career path for me here. You look into that office and you are wondering, I've gotten to this point, what next? Where next? What should I do next? You are in this business and you are wondering, where next? Then faith needs to come, because in faith is revelation. Well, here is the righteousness of God revealed. Revealed. So from faith to faith, faith comes with revelation. You are able to see that this is going to be the next step for you. It's a faith comment. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come when you read it. Faith comes when you hear. That hearing is a hearing of faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. There's a hearing of faith. There's a hearing of faith. Galatians chapter 3. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it? You see, when I see people talk against healing, miracles, may we not answer for things we don't know. There are different layers in spiritual things. One is the layer of the word. You cannot do anything or amount to anything in the spirit without the word. At the end of the day, you must become the word. The word must become flesh in you. But you see, there are other layers. The Lord was talking to me during this, you know, COVID season, and the Lord said to me, the Lord said, by the teaching of the word of God, and please hear me clearly, Lelo, by the teaching of the word of God, anybody that believes can come into instant deliverance. By the virtue of what Jesus has done on the cross, even if you are an Ogoni member, even if you are, you belong to one kind of occult or whatever, you come into Christ to move into a new kingdom. Then the Lord asked me, is that everybody's reality when they come to Christ? Oh, come and talk to me. Is it everybody that came to Christ that had that kind of faith? Why, when you gave your life to Christ, were you translated into the kingdom of God? According to scripture, yes, you are. But did you have that knowledge in terms of by revelation? It took you time. It took some of you time. So that your village people came after you did not mean that you have not been translated, but there's a knowledge gap. So you need to tell them, that day I gave my life, guys, I put kerosene, I burned the membership card. I don't have anything. I'm not a member. So the Lord said to me, he said, it is one thing for a man to be translated into the kingdom of Christ. It is another thing to know it, and many will not know it by teaching of the word. You have to assist them. That's why you are a pastor. By the teaching of the word, and by deploying my own faith, I can walk somebody through and be healed. Because the same salvation that was procured for us for our salvation was procured for us for our healing. Paul is telling us clearly here that anyone that does miracles does it by the Spirit. You can establish balance, but not by displacing another truth. So many of you fight these things. Then when you now find yourself in a tight corner, you can't receive it again because you've talked against it. He said, he that doeth miracles, does he do it by the minister to you the Spirit and doeth miracles? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? This is the reason why many people cannot get healed. They want the man of God to work to do miracles. And God is saying, look, there must be a hearing of faith. That means every time I listen to the word of God, I must tune my spirit to be able to hear. My spirit must resonate with that word. That is what it means to hear by faith. Your spirit resonates that this is my word. This is my word. Some of you were online when we had our healing service, and somebody that was in the general hospital at Lagos Island, that guy had an accident, a pelvic was dismantled, ball, some gallbladder or something. And the guy stood up live on camera. Meanwhile, there will be some people there waiting for the miracle to come and meet them. But the guy was on camera. It was on Zoom. Did I call and say, okay, when I talk now, so stand up. If it's not easy, go and try it now. He said, by the hearing of faith, anything you assess in the spirit is by faith. If you mistake faith for emotion, you're in trouble. If you mistake faith for emotion, you're in trouble. Because emotion is like fuel, it burns fast. I know you can sing, I know you have a powerful voice when the keyboard is there, but when you are alone, can you lift up that song and still experience the power of God? There's a hearing of faith. Mistakes that we make in relation to faith. Number one, we fail to exercise faith often. We fail to exercise it often. That's one of the mistakes we make. It's just like your inner witness. Every time you listen to God through your inner witness, it gets louder. Every time you hear God, it gets louder. It gets better. It's just like your child. A newborn child, it cries, it's very faint. Then from the third day, you notice the baby's voice is louder. So you deploy your faith for it to be stronger. If you are waiting for the day of crisis to deploy your faith, you are going to have a crisis. Because your faith won't be able to sustain the weight of the attack. So learn to deploy your faith. Even when you are trusting God for just 1,000, deploy your faith. Thank God for the provision of that money. Give Him glory. Bless Him. And then release your faith. You deploy your faith in the secret place. Deploy it in little things. Don't wait for when a big problem now comes. It now overweighs you. And then pastor's number is not going. I'm not joking. These things are realities that many of us are going through. We are under pressure. We don't know what's going to happen to our life. And it is only because, it's not because the weight of the attack is so much. It's because we are not used to deploying our faith. These are mistakes people make. They want to wait for a big situation before they try their faith. Deploy it now. Learn how to deploy your faith. Even when you want to eat. Father, I thank you for the provision of food today. Even if there's food in your kitchen. Deploy faith by all your utterance. Number two. Second mistake people make in relation to faith. When you build your faith on popular opinion and not God's word. When you build your faith on popular opinion, oh my God, I need to round up now. When you build your faith on popular opinion and not God's word. When you come for second service, you trust God, there's going to be a prophetic overflow, so just get ready. Number three. The third mistake. We fail to realize that our faith draws its power from our personal revelation of God. So as I'm talking now, two people are hearing me and they are hearing two different things. We fail to realize that the strength of your faith draws its power from our personal revelation of God. That's why Job said, I will see with my eyes, not the eyes of another. Jesus knew he would come out of the grave. It was the other two criminals that didn't know their faith. Jesus knew he would come out of the grave. It was the other two criminals. Your personal, what you have worked on in the secret place, will determine how far you will go. Number four. Romans chapter 4 verse 20. Faith works hand in hand with praise. Faith works hand in hand with praise. Romans chapter 4 verse 20. He staggered not. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So you see the issue of not believing God. It's not that this is the way God sees unbelief. Every time he says something to you and you do not believe, this is what you are doing. As far as God is looking at you, you are a young child that is trying to learn how to walk that hasn't mastered it. So the proof of your ability to respond in faith is that you take a bold step. On God's word, not popular opinion, on God's word, simply because God told you why you are afraid that I will take care of this situation, don't worry. And you took a step. Every time you act on God's word, that is what it is to move towards the future, towards God. He said, Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God. How was he supposed to stagger? Through unbelief. He said, but was strong in faith. How? By giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How did he prove his strength in faith? By giving glory to God. Did he have his child as a gift? Did he have the promise? Did he have anything? All he had was an assurance from God. All he had was an assurance from God. If that assurance is not enough for you, then you are not working with him. If that word you received when you are praying is not enough for you, no prophecy from Pastor Finger will help you. That word that God spoke to you when you are praying, if it is not enough for you, then my own will not be enough. If that 90% that will be left after you pay your tithe, not enough to take care of you, then pay your tithe. Yeah. Because whatsoever is not of faith is. Every time we give to God, we are saying to Him, I am not controlled by money. I am part of advancing the cause of God in the earth. That's what you are saying. I'm covenantly and radically committed to this process. That's what you are saying. Because faith has its works. Faith has its works. Faith has its works. Faith has its works. If that 90% will not be enough, 100 will not be enough. He staggered not by giving glory to God. by giving glory to God. So every time he stood and he looked at his wife and then saw Hagar and remembered that Hagar's son will not bear the promise, then he lifts up his hand and begins to magnify. I will sing praises to you, O God, my strength, for you have been my rock and my shield, and I will give praises to you, O God, my strength. And he will begin to give glory to God. Nobody saw it, but in his secret place, Abraham was a man of secret place. He knew how to journey with God in the midst of people, nobody knew. Abraham's wife didn't know his prayer life. There was no where Abraham went to pray and the wife today. But there are some conversations standing. I hear you, Lord. But all said, the Lord, we shall proceed on the third day and we shall offer our son as a sacrifice. And if, I don't know if you've had those experiences, but we used to have it when we were young. When we prayed, and after praying, we begin to prophesy to ourselves and we begin to write it down. I don't know what we're doing this day. Everything seems to be so digital. Digital prophecy, digital quotable quota, digital. You listen to a man's message for 5 minutes on Facebook and you think you heard the message. Come on! Taste the fried chicken. You have to learn how to join it. In hearing the word of God, you can sit down for 5 hours and you need to train yourself with this thing. Somebody will force it on you. You have to learn it. He gave glory to God. He didn't have the proof, but he gave glory to God. He gave glory to God. He gave glory to God. That is one of the highest manifestations of the evidence of your faith. When you are able to stand in the midst of your situation and you begin to sing and give him glory. Not because you're a good singer, but because of your revelation. You have a revelation knowledge. You know he will do what he has said he will do. You know he will do what he has said he will do. You know that he has never failed. And your faith has grown to the point where it has become trust. When your faith becomes trust, it means that every time of the day that God has said to you in the past, meet me here by 2, God was waiting there. So you have a backlog. You have a sequence of faithfulness accredited to God that every time he said he would show up, he eventually showed up. So when God said to you, wait for me on that mountain, it was no more faith, it was trust. Because you know he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not allow my soul to rot in hell. Neither shall he suffer his holy one to see corruption. For in his presence is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures evermore. That is faith. Fifth mistake that people make. We think that faith is mental agreement. We think that faith is mental agreement. My time is up. Faith is mental agreement. You think that simply because you agree, that means you have faith. No, that's not faith. Faith is born out of revelation. The revelation of God's word. The revelation of God. Hallelujah. How does faith operate? Number one, it operates by revelation knowledge. When God said to them, do not be afraid of them, in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1, God was bringing them to the realm of revelation. God was asking them to put their faith in his word. God was asking them to put their... If God said before the end of this year you are going to be married, God doesn't want you to look at the calendar. God doesn't want you to look at what the PDP or the APC government will say. God wants you to build your next few months on what he has said. So when God said do not be afraid of them, even God acknowledged that the enemies were more than them. But God said do not be afraid of them. Even though God acknowledged that the battle was beyond them, even so do not be afraid of them. You must understand the terrain of the battle. You must understand the enemies you are dealing with, but yet you must remember the word he has said. But that's your ticket out of that place. Revelation knowledge. How does faith operate? It is steered in faith. By faith, it is steered in the heart. Faith is a spiritual token. It's a spiritual evidence. You may not see it around you by the time God is telling you something. It is steered in the heart. Romans chapter 10 verse 8. He said, the word of God is in your heart and in your mouth. It's in your heart. So when God's word is born in your spirit, it produces a steering in the faith. Suddenly you are able to believe God. Suddenly you are able to believe God. You can't explain it, but you are telling your friend over the phone, you say, I know I'm going to get a job in the next 1 month. I know I'm going to get it. You can't explain it, but you know you are going to get it. Number 3. How does faith operate? It operates in your posture and your utterance. Faith operates in your posture and your utterance. Every time God speaks to you, every time God has said something, then it's that word he has said, you recalibrate your position, and then you are able to declare the things you declare because of what he has said to you. So if you say you have faith and you are still on your bed, you didn't get faith, you just did positive thinking. You did positive thinking and you try to encourage yourself. But every time faith moves into action, it commands movement. Paul saw a man that was crippled, and he said he descended, that the man had faith to be healed. And Paul picked the man up, and the man was healed. Then Peter went to the temple, and he saw a man that was crippled. Jesus had been seeing that man. The man had been there when Jesus was there, because the man was over 30 years. So Jesus must have been saying, but he said, this one, let me leave him for Peter. Let Peter test his skills with this one. Because some of you are asking why your miracle is being delayed. Jesus said, it's not because of your sin. It is because of the glory of God that is about to be revealed. So he said, this one is for Peter. This one is for Peter. So Jesus walked past. And the man would have been wondering, why does he keep walking past me? Why does he say, no, now Peter. This one, now this test, hands on for Peter. So Peter, all of a sudden, after receiving the Holy Ghost, came close to that man and he said to him, he spoke in a way he had never even heard Jesus. Because he says, silver and gold, I do not have. But there is something I have. I am assured of this one. This one know they fail. Now confirm. This one know they fail. This one know they fail. I wish I could read the Pidgin English version of that one. This one know they fail. Basky. This one, what I won't give you. Popo ni sheni. It dey cure malaria. It dey cure typhoid. It dey cure HIV. It dey cure stomach problem. It dey cure diarrhea. It dey cure dysentery. It dey cure everything. It dey cure back pain. It dey cure back pain. Come on, give me them sickness now. It dey cure blindness. This one in name of Jesus. Oh! Your solution is in the name. Your solution is in the name. He said, this one, Nagogbon, he said, the day where I receive him, in Kalubo, Kuriya Kataba, in the Rikaba, the Peter went off in look woman before. He's looking at a crippled man. He said, I have something, and I think you need it. He had not seen the miracle, but he was assured. That is faith. He doesn't respect English language, phonetic, frenetics, anything you want to say. Phonetic, frenetics, whatever. See, this thing I have. In the name of Jesus, arise and walk. And he didn't wait for the man. Jack him up. Faith always produces actions. The miracle is not when you said amen. The miracle is when you tried to stand up. Listen to me. And this thing happens in several areas. My friend in Jos built a cathedral in Jos. Jos is a very poor town. Currently, they sit about 700 in that place. You can't even explain how they... I didn't even bother to ask him. That is an operation of the Spirit. Not because it is physical, but because on his own, he could not have done it. How many people are working there? So just the same way, the weight of the Spirit can produce spiritual reality. It can produce physical reality in your life. Don't be deceived.